Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good month, good year to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm back again with you for this episode of Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive only for love. Love alone, I believe, is the one credible value of the human existence. No other value rises above love, and no other value holds meaning without love. Love is what the world needs, and love is what makes the world go round, right? So I'm here to talk to you about those things that rise above the BS of life. And that one thing that rises above that BS, the bait and switch, or other things if you want to put it on there, those things that rise above love are those things that really drag us down. But that when we let love own the day, when we allow love to be our presiding bishop, if you will, our presiding officer, our CEO, when love sits on the throne as a king or a queen, ruling our days, ruling our minds, ruling our priorities, then love takes us where life is intended to go. That's why I'm here every week. That's why I ask you to take a few moments with me. Give me about a half an hour of your time. Get comfortable. Let me offer you the benefit of 50 years of pastoral ministry, where I've counseled people by the dozens, the scores. I have no real honest guess how many people I've sat with in counseling sessions, individually, marriages, families, youth, folks in their senior years of life, everything and anything you can imagine. I've offered some level of pastoral counsel, and I have discovered, and I believe it's true, that the one element that we are all in a passionate pursuit of is love. We are either living in a labor of love or the labor of love. And let me delineate that just a little bit. It's not terribly important to delineate, but there are some simple differences. A labor of love is that which we do on any given day, maybe cook a meal or paint a room, or maybe we paint a portrait, a painting, or we do some photograph. That could be a labor of love. It's the things that we do that we love, and we want to make sure that somebody else enjoys that which we've done, and we want them to know that this was done out of love, that we're here to perform our deeds, not with some kind of rote slavery, but we want to serve people with love. So we serve them a meal that we've given our labor of love to, and we want them to enjoy that meal because we've loved preparing it. Now, the difference between a labor of love and the labor of love is this. Most of us, if not all of us, have some specific calling, some specific trajectories, a target, a bullseye that we're aimed at in the larger form of life. My wife likes to say when she was a mom, she loved being a mom, but she said, you know what? I was born to be a grandmother. She calls herself, and we all of our grandkids, our six grandkids, call her Meemaw. She said, I was born to be a Meemaw. And you know, that's the labor of love. That becomes something that is the larger trajectory, the larger target of our living. And so when we have a labor of love, it can be anything we put our hand to. And we should all have a labor of love every day. But it can then become even more important when we connect a labor of love to the labor of our love. So, you know, it really comes down to daily living and then having a greater vision from our daily living of how we want to live our life. I'm really impressed with everybody, whether they're philosophers or religious experts, theologians, preachers, priests, you name it. I'm drawn to people who have good, solid, lasting quotes. And I've run across a couple that I want to add to my bibliography here on the Alive to Love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS. Here's a quote. Here's one of two that I want to introduce to you this on this episode. And it's from Nelson Mandela from South Africa, a great hero of that struggle forward out of apartheid. Nelson Mandela says, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite." This is something I've said over and over again in so many different ways here. We're made in the image of God. God is love. Love is God. God is the DNA of all of us. We carry the image of God, and as such, we carry the DNA of love. We are each one of us carrying the most natural human ability, which is the love of God. And God is love that is burning in us, looking for expression, looking for an elevation, a full definition in our life and living. Like I said, living a labor of love and living the labor of love in our life going forward. And as Nelson Mandela says, if we can be taught to hate, we can most certainly be taught to love, because love is far more natural to the human state than its opposite. I love how Nelson is not just talking and giving us good quotes, but wow, Nelson Mandela lived a life that demonstrated he was a man of integrity in love. Here's another quote. This is the second one I promised you a moment ago from bell hooks in a book called All About Love. Now listen to this carefully. "Everywhere we learn that love is important, and yet we are bombarded by its failure. In the realm of the political, among the religious, in our families, and in our romantic lives, we see little indication that love informs our decisions, strengthens our understanding of community, or keeps us together. This bleak picture in no way alters the nature of our longing. We still hope that love will prevail. We believe in love's promise." Wow, that one, that's going to become one of my all-time new favorite quotes. You've heard me here many, many times say, "Love alone is credible." That's from Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian of the previous century. Well, this quote from bell hooks in the book All About Love is going to become one of my repeated ones. Let me read it again, because it is so important to how I want to take you through my discussion today. "Everywhere we learn that love is important, and yet we are bombarded by its failure. In the realm of the political, among the religious, in our families, and in our romantic lives, we see little indication that love truly informs decisions, strengthens our understanding of community, or keeps us together. This bleak picture in no way alters the nature of our longing. We still hope that love will prevail. We still believe in love's promise." I say here routinely that I'm no professor of love, but I am a pilgrim of love. I've not found some perfection in love. I'm certainly not one that you need to look at and say, "Well, there, right there, that's the model of love, Randy Dean. Please don't do that to me." But do make me a model of being a pilgrim, on a pilgrimage, a journey reaching for love. My love attempts have been fraught with failure, as any of us has been. And as this quote says, we are bombarded by the failure of love. We hear a story of the failure of love almost daily. But now, why do we have so many stories of failure of love? Why do we pay so much attention to it? Well, I believe the reason we hear those stories and they somehow catch us is because we have in us the eternal longing that love will prevail. And somehow in those stories of failure, we're attuned to it as if having fallen upon the wrong radio station. We say, "See, I told you, there's no good radio stations out there." But listen, I believe love alone is credible. Love alone will last. Love alone carries the human condition forward. Love is what we're looking for on that radio dial when we're turning now in a digital age, when we're pushing a button searching for the right station. We're looking for love. And like a corny old song used to say, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. But why are we looking in the wrong places? Because we're looking. because we're searching, because hope for love is still alive in the human condition. The human condition is fraught with this hope. We have this true north inside of us that's looking for love. And we know instinctively, because as I said, Nelson Mandela's quote suggests that we are born to love. We're not born to hate. Hate is something we learn over time. But love is intrinsically rooted in our DNA. In the image of God, love is alive in there. And we just seek to stoke the fires of those embers of love that we carry from heaven to this earth when we're born and when we grow. So we must be in this search. We must be in this pilgrimage. We must learn to cultivate love, even when we have been a failure, even when we found ourselves stumbling. Cultivate love again, because we have an instinct that says, even if I've stumbled, even if I've fallen, certainly true love is out there for me. Now, hear me carefully. I'm not just talking about romantically. I'm talking about in every phase of life, to live a labor of love, to live the labor of love. We're all of us reaching for it because we know instinctively, that's why I'm here. Not often are we told that's why you're here. Well, guess what? That's why I have a radio program, a broadcast that says, we're alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS. That's why I'm the no BS bishop. I'm here to tell you, don't just serve the slavery of earning a living. Don't just learn, got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth, couldn't see what I was saying there. Don't just live in the slavery of having to clean the house, wash the car, and just do your menial chores with no sense of purpose or design. Don't do that. Reach higher, reach above, reach for the pinnacle of the climb of the mountain of love, and know that we have more to do in this life than just earn a living or raise our children, valuable as that is. But we must learn a labor of love and the labor of love. Love isn't just something we give or get. It's something we have to learn how to nurture. It's not just something we give. It is that. And it's not just something we get. It is that. But love is something we have to learn to nurture it. We've got to learn to sustain it and feed it. Keep that hope burning in us that real love is possible. Real love in our jobs, in our occupations. Real love for what I do is genuinely possible. To love, if all I do is push a broom. Martin Luther King Jr. said that if a person is called to be a street sweeper, let them be the best street sweeper that ever existed. May they sweep that street like Michelangelo or Da Vinci worked on a work of art. And may it be said of a street sweeper who loved their labor, may it be said that here was a true artist of their craft. My passion in life has always been, I know I'm called to be a preacher. I know I'm called in this ministry. But my passion has been to never let it get stagnant. Never let it get to a place of just floating there and having arrived at some point where I say, well, I guess I'm done now. I have no desire for that. I'm 68, and as long as I have breath in my lungs and as long as my heart is beating and my mind is functioning, I'm going to be alive to love. That is my calling of life. It's the labor of love in my life. My calling is that, but I'm convinced that everybody has a calling, and it's simply the pursuit of life in love. To love our calling and to let our calling be love, alive to love. So, we've learned the hard way, haven't we? As I said in the quote from Bell Hooks, that everywhere we learn that love is important, and yet we keep being bombarded with the failure of love. And I said earlier that I'm suggesting that the reason we tune into the failures of love is that we know we're destined to succeed in love. We know that love isn't supposed to be a lifelong series of failures that we just write crummy, old songs, depressing songs about. But love should be that which is expressed in our life over all the days of our life. And then we end life, not just in some whimpering pile of feeling bad and feeling betrayed and feeling denied love, but living our life so much so that we were in all of our days, in some small way every day, living a labor of love. And in the end of our life, to close our eyes in this life and to say, and for it to be said of us, here lies a true lover, a human who loved to the end, who gave love, who received love. And as I said earlier, it's not just something that we give or get, but they nurtured love all the days of their living. It's been my privilege to have been mentored by a man that was my wife's grandfather, H. Paul Holdridge. Such a jolly heart, a good man. You know, we used to talk about his laugh being contagious, because when he giggled, his waistline would bounce with his giggle, and we'd all giggle mostly at whatever made him giggle, but we'd also giggle as we watched his waistline jump. But being mentored by this man, it was important to me because he was a pastor of 50 years himself. So now I've been a pastor of 50 years, and so what I look at is that I've been mentored over a century, not only by Papaw, H. Paul Holdridge, but also by my own experiences. It's important that we note those people in our life who lived some level of love. I mean, I'm not saying anybody did it perfectly, and I'm not certainly not saying that my mentor, Papa, lived it perfectly, but I can tell you, I know he nurtured it. He nurtured love routinely, daily. The joke around Papa was, boy, if you make Papa mad, he'll crank up some homemade ice cream, homemade peach ice cream, not just any old ice cream, and oh my. Ooh, I'm so sorry I'm lactose intolerant, because if I could, I'd learn how to make peach ice cream and stir it up so people could say, oh, if you make Randy mad, he'll make a homemade, I don't know what the container was called, but he'll make a batch of homemade peach ice cream. I learned from him that every little thing can be a labor of love. We have pictures in our home of him standing under a giant sunflower that he grew. Labor of love. We have pictures in our photo albums of him in his garden. He gardened with zest. He had a small vineyard of grapes, and he carried that forward with such attentiveness. Now, all of that is to say that we are here in this life to nurture love, to see each day as an opportunity for a labor of love. And remember, I made a distinction earlier. There's a labor of love, which can be growing a garden or cooking a meal or whatever it may, you know, the immediate task may be. But there's also the overarching, the labor of love. And I would just give you this homework assignment for this coming week. Ask yourself, in each day, what is the labor of my life that is love? What is the labor of love in my life? Is there a larger overarching passion in your life, an overarching goal in your life? And maybe it's that person you're just sitting next to. That's the labor of love. Listen, I am in this life to encourage everyone I know. Find the labor of love. And if it's not immediately available to you, then love the one you're with. You know, there's an old song from the 60s. Love the one you're with and make that the labor of love. Now, how do you make that the labor of your love? Then do every day with the goal in mind to do a labor of love, to nurture love, as I quoted earlier, to find that we know that no matter how many times love fails, and it does, oh my, and there are notable crashes and wreckages of love all around us, but none of them are so crashed and wrecked that it will ever extinguish the hope of love that burns in all of us. We still hope love will prevail. We believe somewhere inside of us in love's promise. So find a labor of love every day. Make sure you know how to activate and nurture a labor of love in the day you're living, not in some wistful fantasy future that you can't access in some practical means today, but in some practical means today, reach for a labor of love, and you'll end up finding yourself living for the labor of love. I'm so grateful you come here to this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I'm believing that this right here is the labor of my love. It's not all of it, but it is an important expression of the overarching labor of love in my life. As I said to you earlier, I know that I am called to minister. I'm called to be a preacher. And I also believe everyone has a calling that's just waiting for discovery. So when you know that love is the core value of all of our callings, you've got somewhere to start. When people have asked me through the years, what is my calling, Pastor? I say, I know one thing, love God, love people, the end. Your calling will grow from there. So here's what we do at the end of every No BS Bishop, alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS. I want you to join me in a couple of small exercises, and one is breathing. Oh, yeah, it'll get you to your labor of love. It'll get you to the labor of love. Just keep breathing. Just keep breathing. Let love's hot fire keep burning in your heart and in your lungs. To breathe is to live, and to live is to breathe well. So on the count of three, I want you to join me in an exercise. This isn't all you can do in one day. Maybe you should set aside 5 minutes every day. Make an appointment every day to just breathe for 5 minutes with a full attention to how you're breathing, all right? So on the count of three, I want you to breathe as deep as you can. Pull all the air you can down to the bottom of your lungs and hold it there for 3, 4, maybe 5 seconds, okay? Here we go on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, inhale, hold it down in there, pull that air down there, hold it in there, and exhale. I want to challenge you to do that for about 5 minutes every day. As I said, make an appointment, set a timer, you know, on your phone or your device or on your watch. Set a timer that you're just breathing, and you're breathing well. And you're breathing in a rhythmic way that is nurturing your body, giving your body a chance to get through whatever anxiety or worries you may be facing, all right? And the second exercise is really very relative to everything I've said today, a labor and the labor of love. And that is to learn the three most magical, beautiful words in the human language. Learn them well. I love you. Now, when you learn the beauty and the charm of those three words, you should also learn that it's important to give those three words to someone every day on some level that is meaningful to them and to you. To look somebody right in the eye. Oh, wow, I know. It's weird. It's awkward. It's a little nerve-wracking to give somebody full eye contact and say, I love you. And yes, you want to be careful that you're not saying it in some way that someone would be distracted from reality in a bad way. But most of the time, you can find someone, your child, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your especially your significant other, wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, somebody that you know maybe love starved. And just give them the full intention of a moment. Get their eye contact. Look them straight in the eye. Hear me when I tell you right now, if I could see you through your device, your radio, your computer, your iPod, your iPad, your phone, I would give you my eye contact and I would say, I love you. Now, when you do that, you have just struck the nerve of the human core. You've touched the nuclear core of every human that you encounter. Those three words matter. Those three words shatter the loneliness. Those three words can shatter fears and anxieties that are riddling so much of our society today. We all know of the failures of love. That's what we've said some today. But may we also know of those small successes where somebody showed up at just the right time with just the right words, and they were, "I love you." Well, thanks for being here with me today for this episode of I'm Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I have discovered that all lesser values than love devolve into BS. Let's rise to that one credible value that this world is waiting to explore, waiting to embrace. Love, and love alone, is credible. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.